and he's collaborated with another innovator, perhaps the most famous of today's new musical talents, David Bowie. They collaborated on an album, and here's the result of that creative effort. One song from it now, and another later on. David Bowie is at the keyboard, and this is a song from the album called The Idiot. Please welcome Iggy Pop. And David Bowie. You must be exhausted.
I'm a little bit keyed up now.
I know. That's kind of hard to come down from.
It's difficult to break back out of.
Of course. I'm going to call you Jimmy, if
sure.
I may.
Sure, I appreciate it.
Jimmy, when you do 2 and 3 shows a night, how do you come out?
Usually, when we work, I do that for about an hour and a half.
Good heavens. You've known each other for years, haven't you?
Yeah, for 6 years.
Where did you meet?
What inspired this?
Where did you meet?
In a bar.
In a bar.
New York.
In New York.
Yeah.
You sure?
We were both unrecognized at the time, so we had a lot to, you know,
in common.
But you were both interested in music.
Yeah. No, not music, really.
Whatever you call it.
You call it music.
Yeah.
What do you call this? Well, punk. What is punk?
This isn't music.
This has nothing to do with the punk rock.
What is it? Explain to me what it is. David.
Well, it's not. My understanding of punk rock is something that's happened in England, I think, really over the last couple of years. But what Jimmy was doing, I'd never seen Jimmy really, but I'd heard some of his albums, and it sounded like I don't know, nihilistic rock. It was nihilism.
But Well, that's
which
true.
Fascinates me.
I love nihilism.
Well,
this is a lot of philosopher talk.
No, but that's interesting. It's a little remote from reality at times.
No, it
isn't.
Oh,
not at all.
No.
No?
No.
No.
But now, in your collaboration, what do you consider your... what type of music do you do then, David?
Myself?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Ask Jimmy.
And what kind of... You had heard...
I'll tell you what he does.
His is a bit up there.
Yes, it is.
A bit more airy.
Yeah.
My music is just basically... I look for things to tear apart, you know, and... Mm. Oh, that's good to whip... You know, that's very easy.
You don't even think about it before you do it. It just happens, doesn't it, when you...
Well, a lot of what Jimmy did when we were in a... Do you mind me talking?
No.
You sure?
Yeah.
Okay. In the studio, Jimmy would make up the lyrics on the spot, and we would keep everything that he did, and occasionally change a line after we recorded. But Jimmy, I've never seen anybody be able to make up lyrics so fast, just out of his head to a track. And it's more like he'll hate me, but it's more like a... the beatnik era thing with, you see.
No, cheers.
Well, it's a retreat. I mean, it's
a very spontaneous kind of lyric. It's not like a written thing at all, Jimmy. Whereas mine, so I spend months writing one word. Yes. Then I have to look it up and see how to spell it.
Which is what most of us have to do. No, but David, what I mean is when you recorded Iggy first or Jimmy first.
No. Iggy already had two albums out on his own that he'd done himself.
I see.
And then general favor went against Jim because of what he was doing at the time. Seemed. But
would you describe some of the things you were doing at the time, which were the things that I had heard about? And
I was doing songs like "I Want to Be Your Dog" and mm-hmm. "No Fun" and "Search and Destroy" and "Raw Power," which has since had a child's toy named after mm-hmm. it. But
you were doing things to yourself physically that were.
Yeah, and to other people, too.
Why?
Because I was
bored
and angry, and when I couldn't, you know, when things would get so... When something that demanded action every day would keep pestering my mind and I couldn't do anything about it, finally sometimes I would give up and just resort to simple violence.
On yourself, though, mostly?
Usually on myself, because I hated to do it, take it out on other people. I thought that was wrong.
That's considerate.
Yeah. I thought I was being more considerate.
Yeah.
So often I would do to myself what I wanted to do to someone else.
I mean, like, for instance, you poured hot wax on yourself once.
Yes, but that didn't hurt.
It didn't hurt?
No, it doesn't. It just... And I didn't know at the time that it wouldn't hurt, though.
But you cut yourself with a bottle.
Yeah, well, that was because I'd done something really foolish the night before, and I was ashamed. I had left this 13-year-old girl stranded at an airport on the East Coast, and she was from the West Coast. And I thought, that wasn't right to do to her.
No, that's not right.
So I got up on stage, and I thought, well, what is a fool, what is a horrible person like you doing up on this stage? This is all wrong. And I felt so bad that I thought, the heck with it, and I grabbed a glass and...
Oh, Jim.
But that
boy.
Was, well, I've had treatment for that sort of thing, you know, since. Yeah, helped a lot, you know.
Jimmy, that's a rough
It's better to be
business.
Able to laugh about it now.
Yeah, that's really a hard
See,
way.
See, I knew,
yeah.
I'll tell
well,
you.
Rosie was saying, we were saying, you know, you burn yourself with the hot rollers when you're on the road.
Yeah.
Burn your hair, but...
It's about the extent of it.
But to do what you did, to
it's
punish
always,
yourself.
No, listen, it sounds funny, but, yeah, it is funny. It's really funny.
David,
but no, I was going to say something very heavy and
no,
meaningful, but I can't.
But I know you.
You don't dare.
When you saw Iggy perform, what was your
I never
reaction?
Saw Iggy perform. I just heard the albums, and then I must admit somebody played me a videotape of a performance that he did with his original band, The Stooges, I didn't like it very much because then I saw the violence, and it's not what I heard from the lyrics.
Because your music, when you have a lovely, as you say, sound way up
I'm
here.
I'm a cyborg. My
cyborg?
Stuff is very different. Mine comes from sort of up to from
sure.
there,
yeah.
And Jimmy's comes from about here down to...
Ooh! About there. You know.
I don't know. I wonder what he means by that. Gee whiz.
I don't know. I'll ask you later, Ruth.
Okay, kid. I'll tell you.
No, what I want to know, what was the audience's reaction when you did those things?
Well,
to them, or to yourselves?
It would depend. I did a lot of very good shows then, too. It's like anybody that's reaching sort of like that, sometimes you'll do incredibly good things and not know it. So sometimes the audience would literally just go nuts, and they'd usually get very demonstrative. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they would all pass out.
They did?
Yeah, they took a lot of...
Not much response when they do that.
Yeah. And sometimes they would just, if it was a room this size, they would all press themselves in groups against the wall as far away as they could get from me, and just, they'd watch in horror, but they wouldn't be able to leave either.
Yeah.
They would be sort of fascinated.
You can talk about it now, and you've had treatment.
I can talk about it if it's required. It's not my preferred subject.
Oh, I don't want to make you uncomfortable. But do you feel that in your music you had a chance, coupled mm-hmm. with the violence, to contribute something?
I think I've contributed something, yes.
I think, yeah.
In the statement in your music, or in what you were saying about yourself and in the violence perpetrated on you?
I don't know about that. But must have been something good that I've done.
Oh, I'm sure of that.
I think perhaps just that there are a lot of people who have enjoyed what I've done mm-hmm. for a long time, so that's good enough.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is.
Do you feel you've influenced anybody in the...
I think I helped wipe out the 60s. I was saved that.
Yeah, that's great. David, how about you?
What?
You have been working with Iggy now.
Yeah.
And you're a very modest man. You're sitting there at the keyboard, and one of the conditions on which you came today was that you would not sing a solo and that you would not talk about David Bowie, and we're friends, and I understand and I respect that. But what happens with David Bowie if you're going to continue to sublimate your particular talent? Can your ego stand there?
Okay, fine, right. Well, can I... two ways of approaching that. Firstly is that one thing which I want to get straight.
All right.
Is that the collaboration that Jimmy and I have had has been something, because I was intoxicated with what I thought Jimmy stood for, and I would never, ever want it to be considered that I was some kind of hand... manipulator or Svengali behind what Jimmy's doing now, because he's getting popular now.
Uh-huh.
It's only because he's 6 years too early.
Uh-huh.
What he was doing 6 years ago was just the same.
You talk musically.
Nothing musically, yeah. And
musically.
His presence,
okay.
What he was doing on stage was exactly the same. It's just that I happen to be concerned with it now,
uh-huh.
because I stayed with it.
Okay.
So firstly, for me, it's a great ambition, because there was something with Jimmy that I hadn't seen in rock and roll, which was a kind of a method. I can't explain it. A method poetry. It was an unleashing of parts of the animalistic
yeah.
kinds of rock that you never really see. It's always usually safeguarded and very, very safe.
And sometimes
Jimmy
programmed
excited
and
what he was doing.
Yeah, that's right.
And it probably has nothing to do with rock and roll. I think it has more to do with method.
Method and a human statement?
Yeah, I think. No, not a human statement. No, just method. Jimmy has a method.
Uh-huh.
So that's my concern, and I have nothing else better to do, and I've never enjoyed a tour as much as I'm enjoying this one, just playing keyboards, because I think it's as fulfilling as any of my tours.
The interesting thing, because
I've developed an American accent. I must lose that.
Yeah.
Yeah. American dear to me. But no, what an interesting thing, because I noticed that a lot of the rock artists and the country artists will play as sidemen on a temporary basis on a recording session with other performers. But I have never seen them do it to this extent, but you are now helping to produce Jimmy's album.
Yeah.
But what happens with your career?
Oh, that's fine.
It'll move along. Exactly.
I am very rich, you know.
Yeah.
I can afford it.
Yeah.
And
well,
I guess if you're willing to, you know, just wait out, and I don't see the necessity of doing a tour of my own until I want to do one.
Yes.
Not for the bucks. I'd much prefer to do one because I want to do a tour. Then I prefer to do something that really excites me, and playing piano behind Iggy Pop for me is very exciting.
Well, see, now that's wonderful. Just, you know. And that's the kind of thing that usually managers and agents and people like that, they say, grab it while you can, because the public's taste is whimsical and it changes. Mm-hmm. But for you to say that you can...
No, that... public taste doesn't change. There's a particular, a hardcore point in the public that there's a valve, an emotional point that can be touched in two places. It's either on a spiritual level or a gut level. Mm-hmm. And that will never change, ever.
No, I agree with you, but the audience to whom you appeal occasionally will be fickle, or they will move to another group.
Oh,
but if you touch them emotionally in one way or the other, spiritually...
I think Jimmy and I believe in our audiences a lot.
Yes,
I don't think we're concerned
very much.
Too much.
Well, that's great.
Very much.
Yeah. Be right back. We can both use this mic.
Sure.
Funny, we were talking earlier, you said you had never done television before.
No, this is the first time.
Interesting medium, isn't it, with all the cameras between you?
Yes, people are so far.
No, but they're not that far. If you could have, they were with you every second. Really exciting.
Yeah.
Weren't you? You're loving it. That's great. You're originally from Detroit.
Yes, near Detroit, Ann Arbor.
Yeah. Near Detroit, Ann Arbor.
Yeah.
Intellectual city.
Yes, yes.
Of course.
Yes.
Did the music of Detroit have much of an effect on your music?
The industrialism in Detroit. What I heard,
yeah,
you know, wandering around was... There are 10 cars, 20
yeah,
cars, and so on. And so
sure,
forth.
Of course. I wonder if we all realize how much we're affected by...
I doubt it. I get a lot of my influence, like, from the Electric Shavers and... it's true.
You really do?
Yes, and from...
No,
it's true.
No, but it's funny how the sound... You don't realize how the sound is. What did you do to those nice people out there? They believe you, don't you? No, yes, no.
Oh,
they do. How do your parents feel about you working without your jacket on, Jimmy?
They don't mind.
They don't?
They like what I do very much.
That's great.
We're very close.
What does your dad do?
He's teaches communications and media at a high school.
He does?
Yes, yes.
What do they call? Did they when they find out that he's Iggy Pop's dad? What
they call him Mr. Pop. And they look at him.
And they say, I mean, right. Yeah, but you don't look like Iggy Pop. Is that what they say? And how about
he does
your,
a bit actually?
Does he really?
Yeah.
The blue eyes.
Yeah.
How about your mom?
She's an executive at the Bendix Corporation.
Maybe his hair is sized.
They make
really
missiles and bombs and all that good stuff.
But yes. Just trying
my
to reconcile
the war effort.
Yeah, but I'm trying to reconcile the picture of your dad, a teacher, and your mom, with the Bendix Corporation,
yes,
and you here with these interesting. Would you? I mean, I've got to know what their reaction is. They when they first saw you perform, what did they say?
They didn't say much the first time.
Stayed in a state of shock.
Yeah, but as time went by, they got reconciled to the fact that this was what I was doing.
Yeah.
Then as my teeth started to fall out and things, and they'd help me replace them, you know. And
your teeth started to fall out?
Yes, they all fell out at once.
Did you eat too much candy?
And I was getting too violent on stage.
You've got David on the floor. You were kidding.
Watch your teeth, buddy.
Yeah. I mean, you were... Now, wait, I got to get this straight. Your teeth were falling out because you were getting too violent on stage?
Yes.
Hitting the microphone?
Yeah,
or the
mostly from the microphone.
And you couldn't very well
sometimes
do without it?
The floor.
Sometimes
the
floor and the drums.
The other musicians, you know.
With your teeth? There's a school of thought that thinks I could hit anybody with my teeth, but they... Right? Introduce the members.
Yeah,
of the,
I'd love to. This is, this is Tony Sayles.
Tony Sayles?
And his brother, Hunt.
Hunt Sales.
Or his brother, Tony, whatever. And their dad is one of my favorite artists, Soupy Sales, the comedian.
Now you're putting me on.
No, I'm not. These are Soupy's boys.
Oh, well, I didn't know that.
Really, honestly?
No. That, well, I got to ask you, what does your dad say? How does... He likes it? That's good. And you're, well, it's your dad, too. He likes it, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this fellow over here, he's from Scotland. His name's Rick Gardner.
Hi, Rick. Welcome. Yeah. And hey, you can introduce me to the piano player.
Yeah. And this is David Bowie.
Yeah. I think I'd know him anywhere.
He's not from Scotland.
No, he's not. Well, listen, you're gonna do another number now?
We'd like to. If we
Great.
Could.
What are you going to do?
It's called Sister Midnight.
Sister Midnight.
It's from my new album, Idiot.
Yes, and I think you... I got it. Okay, ready. Iggy Pop.
Oh, I'm calling Sister Midnight. You've got me reaching for the moon. Calling Sister Midnight. You've got me playing the fool. Oh, I'm calling Sister Midnight. Calling Sister Midnight.